We turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, the chapter number 9, for Bible reading this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Read from the 6th verse of the chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And we'll read from the verse number 6. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration, here writes, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. He that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in every thing to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Amen. We end our reading at the 15th verse. The end of the chapter. Let's engage in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the one who came so willingly, so gladly to this earth, knowing all that would entail, knowing the deep humility, knowing that journey of condescension that He would take. Yet we thank Thee that He came. He came to us. He came as one of us, and yet without sin. And Lord, we rejoice in this house today that there was one who came. There was one who was born, who could take away our sin, who could pay the price of sin. We thank Thee that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We thank Thee that there has been, therefore, the spirit of adoption sent into our hearts, whereby we can cry this Lord's Day, "Abba, Father." Well, come to our hearts, Lord Jesus. There's room in our hearts for Thee. And while the world, O God, has crowded out the Saviour, we rejoice, O God, that there's room in our hearts for Thee. Take the throne of our hearts, we pray. We give ourselves away to Thee this day. In all that Thou hast done for us, we pray that Thou wilt be pleased just to meet with us now in these moments, whether it be in this building, part of the building, or whether it be in the church hall. As families gather there, O God, we pray that Thou wilt meet with our souls and shut us into God and shut out the world. And may our thoughts be taken up on eternal things. For we pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen. I'm sure in the lead up to Christmas you have either heard or read about a lady by the name of Emma Tapping. She's a 28-year-old mother on the Isle of Man who decided this year to buy her three children 96 gifts each. That is almost 300 gifts to give them on Christmas Day. Now, to anyone with any sense whatsoever, such a number of gifts is to be viewed as over excessive, to say the least. The giving of gifts has become a practice that is now entrenched in the tradition of those who celebrate Christmas. Many a man, many a woman has found themselves frustratingly searching the aisles of shops and boutiques for that last minute ideal gift as an expression of love and gratitude to a husband, a wife, a boyfriend, girlfriend, a mother, a father, a brother or a sister. But the world has gone so mad that it's not even that human beings become the recipients of such gifts at this time of year. Pets are often showered with gifts from their devoted owners. I was reading that you can buy a Louis XV pet pavilion for just about £19,000 for your dog or cat to sleep in. And if you have a little bit more disposable cash to splash around, you can purchase a 52-carat diamond dog collar studded with 1,600 hand-set diamonds on an 18-carat white gold collar attached to crocodile leather for just £1.4 million. It was gifts, costly gifts, the wise men from the East brought to the Christ child as an expression of their homage and their worship to the newborn king. Matthew records in Matthew chapter 2 and the verse 11 that when they were come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold was given as they acknowledged this one in the manger as their king. Frankincense given as they acknowledged him as their priest. Myrrh given as they acknowledged him as prophet. Prophet, priest, and king is found in this one in the manger. As we come to remember the birth of Jesus Christ today, we are reminded that he was God's gift to us. The giving of God the Son to this world is spoken of within both Old and New Testaments. Isaiah prophetically spoke about the gifting of the Son there in chapter 9 in the verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. In John chapter 3 verse 16 we are reminded, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And those words, given and gave, suggest to our mind the gifting of God's Son to this world. Now in our reading today, the Apostle Paul is dealing with the issue of giving, gifting financially to the church, and he does so when he writes to this church here in Corinth. Within the confines of the chapter, Paul was stirring up these Corinthian believers to give liberally into the service of God, to give in an act of liberal giving that had far surpassed anything that they had ever previously given within their minds. And within their lives, he reminds his readership in the verse number 7 that their giving to God's work is not to be done grudgingly or of necessity, but that the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. While Paul is thinking about giving, it seems to be that his mind is taken off to another gift. Because this man was a man who was full of God, his mind, his thoughts, his heart was saturated with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we have read this chapter together, and we have read about giving into God's work, we have come to the verse number 15. And surely as we come to such a place, it seems to be that such a verse doesn't just sit into the context of this chapter. But whenever we consider that Paul is speaking about a gift, the giving of money into God's work, Paul now brings that teaching to a close by focusing his readership on the greatest gift that has ever been given. It is God's gift to man that should stir us to give to God. He's arguing from the greater to the lesser. We've often spoken that way. He's reminding his readership, just as the Father gave his Son to us, so ought we to give to God's work and into the service of the King of Kings and of the Lords of Lords. And thus he says these words, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. It is a doxology. It is a hymn of praise. It is a hymn, as it were, of worship. Here's a man whose heart is so full of God that he says on this occasion, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I want to bring your minds to reality today. You can very easily get caught up in the traditions of this world when it comes to this time of the year. But I want to bring us to the reason why the world celebrates, and why we thank God for the coming of Christ into this world, to cause our hearts to be taken away from the giddiness of such an occasion and be brought to the reality that it is all because of Jesus Christ. It's all because of the Savior and how He came to this earth. And so this Christmas Day, I want us to meditate upon the truth that we have within this text, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 17, or verse 15, and speak to you together quite simply on God's unspeakable gift. And what a theme it is. What a joy it is for my heart today to be in this place. You know, this day it's not a day of inconvenience to me, brethren and sisters, to be in God's house. I'm glad to be in God's house today. And I'm glad that I've got a message to bring to you, and it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, the unspeakable gift. Now, there are just two main points that I want to enlarge upon by the help of God from this verse, and the first is the most lengthy. And so whenever we say that we're getting to point number two, we're coming to the end of the message. It is quite lengthy, our opening point today. I want to speak about God's gift to us. God's gift to us. This unspeakable gift is spoken of with this possessive pronoun before the words unspeakable gift. His unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. This gift has come from God Himself, from God to sinful man, sent by God into this world, this particular gift. But we ask ourselves this very logical question: what is this gift? Some Bible commentators would say that it is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But rather than asking what this gift is, we need to ask ourselves this question: who is this gift? For I believe that this gift is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, because He is eternal life. He is eternal life. It is this that we need to think about even today. We've already mentioned these verses, but we remind you of them. Again, Jesus Christ is the Son that is given. A son is given. Isaiah would say that he would be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This gift is spoken again, John 3, verse 16, that He gave His only begotten Son. But He is also spoken of in Romans chapter 8 and the verse 32. The Father would deliver up His Son for us all. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the gift. It is the gift that Paul is speaking of here in the latter verse of this chapter. A number of things that we can say about God's gift to us. Can I say, first of all, He is an unspeakable gift. It's taken directly from our text this morning, this thought. But thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. The amazing thing about that word unspeakable is that it is the only time that that word is used in the whole of Scripture. Interesting thought. A unique word for the unique word. A unique word in the English language or in the Greek language for the unique word, the incarnate word, the Lord Jesus Christ. This word is a negative equivalent of a word that means to narrate the whole way through. And thus it carries the thought of a matter that cannot be fully or entirely expressed or expounded. It is a matter that is indescribable, this word unspeakable. When Paul comes to speak then about God's gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, we would say in our terms, words fail us. Words would fail us. to describe the gift that was given from God to sinful men. It is unspeakable, indescribable, can never be narrated to its full end. That's the thought that we have within this very word. Now, Christ, God's unspeakable gift, it is God's unspeakable gift in terms of value. Value. God the Son is the most costliest of gifts. The Bible depicts him in one parable as the pearl of great price. In another parable, he is described as a treasure that is hidden in a field that causes a man to sell everything that he has in order that he might purchase that particular field in which the treasure is hidden. And who among us this Christmas day could estimate the value of such a gift that was given to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, if God had have given 1,000 worlds, if he had have excavated heaven's streets of gold and unhinged heaven's gates of pearl, he would have given a gift infinitely less in value than the gift that he did give when he gave us his only well-beloved begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just take a moment and consider the value of Christ the Father's gift to sinful man and ask the question, could anything or anyone of greater value or worth, could they have been given? The one most valued by the Father, the one most prized by the Father, the one who was the Father's delight and joy in eternity past before the worlds were ever created and mankind ever stepped on to this globe. This one who was the joy of the Father's heart, he was freely given to us, and he was freely given for us in order that salvation of sin and its eternal consequences could be secured by his once and for all sacrifice on Calvary's tree. Your brethren and sisters, if you want to somehow quantify or estimate how much God loves you, how much God loves his redeemed people, then we need to consider what God the Father was willing to give in order that we might be secured to be his own. He gives heaven's best for earth's worst. No wonder then Paul here describes him as an unspeakable gift. How could we ever bring into human language what God did for us in the sending of his own dear Son into this world? What value he possessed. And yet he was willing. He who was infinitely rich became infinitesimally poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. The value of this unspeakable gift. But Christ is God's unspeakable gift in terms of splendor. In terms of splendor. Just think about and upon the graces and the powers, and the infinite excellencies of Christ, and you would have to only but conclude that the gift of God, this unspeakable gift in the person of Jesus Christ, is unspeakable in terms of his splendor, his beauty, and his majesty. Jonathan Edwards preached a message, The Excellencies of Christ. Within that sermon, he presented the paradoxical excellencies of the Son of God. Let me explain and give you some examples. In Jesus Christ, he said, we not only meet infinite highness, but we also meet infinite condescension. We not only meet infinite justice, but we also meet infinite grace. We not only meet infinite glory, but we also meet lowliest humility. We not only meet infinite majesty, but we also meet transcendent meekness. We not only meet absolute sovereignty, but we also meet perfect resignation. We not only meet self-sufficiency, but we also meet an entire trust and reliance upon God. Oh, the splendor of the Christ who came into this world. And brethren and sisters, today, especially on this day, the Lord's Day, our minds should be taken up with him. and His splendor and His glory. I was thinking about what the angel said there on the hills of Judea. We're reminded there that whenever the angel appeared, that the glory of the Lord shone around them. Not the glory of the angels. It was the glory of the Lord. A little heaven on earth just outside that little village of Bethlehem. The Lord's glory. This is what we come to think about today. The glory of the Lord. The glory of our God, the majesty of our God, the splendor, the beauty of our God, that yes, He who was eternal, who existed before the world ever came into being, He became a man and dwelt among us, and yet at all times remained truly God in that unique personage of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the splendor, the wonder, the marvel, the mystery of it all. Think of the splendor of the gift in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, He whom angels laud. And seraphim veil their face. The altogether lovely one, the bright and morning star, the chiefest and fairest among 10,000s. It was He and He alone that was given as God's gift to this world. No wonder then Paul said and spoke of this gift in terms of it being unspeakable. But Christ is God's unspeakable gift in terms of fitness or suitability. I'm sure this Christmas you'll receive some gift and you'll open it up and you'll wonder, what were they thinking? Some sort of implement that you've maybe got or you will receive tomorrow. And you'll think to yourself, why would I have need of such a thing? There is one that has come into my mind, but I'm not going to mention it. I didn't buy it. But someone, I believe, maybe last year bought it for someone, and I'm sure they thought, why do I need such a gift? But you know, this gift, it fully met our need and superabundantly above it. It was so fitted for our need. Now, how fully and how completely Christ, this gift to us, meets our needs, we know not yet. We know in a little, yes. But we now look through a glass darkly. But there's going to come a day whenever we're going to realize in the presence of Him that He met my need fully. Suitably. One preacher put it, all our known wants are supplied by the Redeemer, and the vast catalogue of wants as yet unknown to us. Through Him we are pardoned, cleansed, sanctified, adopted, and through Him we shall at last be brought into the great home above. Oh, the suitability of Christ, heaven's unspeakable gift. He it is that can meet the need of everyone with all varying spiritual conditions in this meeting house today. He can meet you at the point of your need. Sinner, He can meet you. Because He today is able, ready, and willing to save you from your sin. Backslider, though your wanderings have been many, though your period of departure has been protracted, yet Christ is able to restore unto you this Christmas day, this Lord's day. He can restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. And child of God, this Lord's day, thank God, He's able to meet you at your point of need, to strengthen you, to encourage you, to lead you, to comfort you, to uphold you, to pray for you. No wonder then, Paul, his heart was bursting as he thought about Christ. No wonder he said, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. He thought of the value, the splendor, and the fitness of this unspeakable gift. The Son of God is not only an unspeakable gift, but can I say that He is a unique gift. He is a unique gift. There are companies in this world and they prize themselves in providing for their millionaire customers gifts that are unique. Bespoke gifts they talk about, or tailor-made gifts, one of a kind, a gift that no one else is going to possess, because there has only one been made. I was researching for this sermon today, and I went into a luxury website not to buy. I hasten to add, but it's a little website, veryfirst2.com. You can buy the most glamorous Christmas tree star adorned. It has 251 diamonds upon it, and you can buy it for an eye-watering £615,000. Now, if you have a spare £2.8 million, you can get a Christmas wreath studded with diamonds and rubies from the very same website. You see, the price of such a gift is exaggerated because of its uniqueness. It's the same in anything. With respect to paintings, with respect to antiques, the more unique a thing is, the more expensive it becomes. It becomes one of a kind. The value is determined by its uniqueness. And we ask ourselves the question, was there anyone ever like Christ? Has there ever been one like him? And will there ever be one like him again? To which we would heartily say, there has never been one like our Savior, and there never shall be. He is the unique gift. A unique gift. The hymn writer put it well when he asked the question, was ever a gift like the Savior given? And then he replies with these words, no, not one. No, not one. Or sinner, find that he would not take him. No, not one. No, not one. He had a unique birth, a unique ministry. Never man spake like this man. Healed the leper, raised the sick to life, touched blinded eyes, forgave men and women on the very spot, pardoning their transgressions, putting them far away, as far as the east is from the west. He had a unique death, for no one died like the Savior. It was a death of deaths. But it did not end there, because he had a unique resurrection from the dead, a unique ascension to the Father's right hand, and blessed be God, he's going to have a unique second coming again to this earth, because he's coming as King of Kings and of Lord of Lords, and every eye shall see him. No wonder then Paul, as he thought about the uniqueness of this gift, thanks be unto God, was the strain that left his heart through his lips. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thomas Brooks said this about the influence of this unique gift heaven gave to us in the person of Jesus Christ. He said, all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as that one solitary life. And like the unique gifts that I've previously mentioned, you know, this unique gift can be yours today without the exchange of any money on your part. It can be freely received by faith this Christmas day, this Lord's day. And he can be so if you would only but turn from your sin and believe on his name. I wonder, will you do that? Will you do that this Christmas day? And then you'll be able to say that this day is doubly special for you. Because this day, I not only remember the birth of Christ, but I remember my second birth, my conversion. I remember the day of my salvation. Call upon him while he is near. An unspeakable gift, a unique gift. He is an unrivaled gift. He is an unrivaled gift. Think of the greatest gift that you could ever receive, or think of the most expensive gift that you could ever receive, and set it alongside the Lord Jesus Christ, and you would have to say that no gift on earth could ever rival the gift of God's dear Son. Because, dear friends, he is an unrivaled friend. He is a friend who loveth at all times. He's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. He's not only an unrivaled friend, he is an unrivaled Savior. Because he alone can save from sin. He is an unrivaled companion. He has promised never to leave us or forsake us. He is an unrivaled guide. He has promised to lead us to the very end and to bring us into our desired haven. He is an unrivaled counselor, for his counsel is truth and trustworthy at all times. No one in heaven or on earth can be compared to him. David said that. Whom have I in heaven? Whom have I among the sons of men that I desire more than thee? None compares to him. He's fairer than 10,000. He is the altogether lovely one. He is the one who sits in solitary splendor and glory. He is unrivaled among the sons of men. He is unrivaled among the holy angels. He is God's unspeakable gift. There is none like him. None like him. So whatever gift you receive this Christmas, I tell you, it's nothing compared to the gift of Jesus Christ. Nothing compared to him. All the other gifts will eventually corrupt, break, decay. But the gift of Jesus Christ will never face such a fate. He never changes. May this, on this day, you be found receiving the gift of God's dear Son. Can I say in our first point, this initial point about God's gift to us, fourthly, he is an undeserved gift. He is an undeserved gift. Your sin and rebellion against God certainly didn't warrant or merit God to act in such a way when he gave us his only begotten Son. We are totally and wholly undeserving of such a gift. You know, God in his wisdom could have justly left us in our sin. He could have left us to suffer the same fate as the fallen angels. He rose up with Satan to try and dethrone and usurp God from off his throne. But God in love and God in mercy provided a way whereby sinful man could be reconciled to God. And out of God's abundant and free and sovereign grace, he gave us his own Son that he might die for his people and pay the sin debt on our behalf. Wonder of wonders, marvels of marvels, mystery of mysteries, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Maybe this Lord's Day you find yourself in this house a sinner. You would say, preacher, I'm undeserving of such a gift. And rightly you are. You may say, preacher, I feel unworthy of such a gift. My past, my present, my departure from God, my rebellion against God, I'm undeserving of such a gift. And yet I want to say today in this house that Christ is freely offered to you in the gospel. Though undeserving you feel, though unworthy you feel, let me ask you, will you receive such a gift? What will you do with the gift today? Accept or reject, refuse or receive? That choice is with you today. We've given much time over to the thought of God's gift to us. Let me make a brief comment on this second point. As we think about God's gift to us, the second point is our gratitude to him. Our gratitude to him. Our text says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. In response to this unspeakable gift that was given to us, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christian is to offer up thanks to God for such a gift. Now we ask ourselves, well, how do I do that? How do I thank God for His unspeakable gift? Well, I believe that we can express our gratitude to God, firstly by our lips. That is what the Bethlehem shepherds did. When they came to see God's unspeakable gift lying there in the manger, we're told in Luke's account, chapter 2, the verses 17 and 18, that when they had seen it, then note these words, they made known abroad the saying, which was told them concerning this child. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Here were men, having seen the Christ child, not willing to have a second-hand account from the angel or from the multitude of angels, but they wanted a first-hand experience. Ah, that's what you need, sinner. Not some second-hand account of someone else telling you about salvation. You need a first-hand experience like these shepherds. And so down they went. They made haste. And as they did so, something happened. What they saw, they wanted to tell out. They wanted to let others know. And I tell you, the Christian that does not want to speak of Christ knows not Christ. Knows not Christ. These shepherds employed their lips in praising God and proclaiming the good news that a Savior was born. And such is what we are to do this Christmas Day. We're going to our homes. Some of you will meet with family members out of Christ without a Savior. Why not speak about this unspeakable gift to them? That's how we thank God for His unspeakable gift, by employing our lips. Oh, may we, all those that we come into contact with, not only today, but this week and the weeks that lie ahead, whenever the darkness comes in and people realize that what they thought would bring happiness has not brought them happiness. In the trinkets of this world, let us be there to tell them about this unspeakable gift. We can express our gratitude by lip, by life, by our lives. That's the second point. Folks, what is the good of praising God and proclaiming and preaching to others that Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save if our manner of living does not live up to our lips? Lip and life are to be in sync with each another if our witness is to be blessed by God. And so by living lies according to God's law and to His words, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How do I thank God for this unspeakable gift? I thank Him by how I live in this godly, godless, sinful world. In light of such a gift, we ought to surrender and consecrate our lives again to God. Finally, we express our gratitude to God by our labors. I wonder, what are we willing to do for God to show our gratitude for His unspeakable gift? See, Paul was so consumed with love for God's unspeakable gift that he simply called himself the servant of Jesus Christ. The apostle counted no toil too severe, no burden too heavy, no sacrifice too great to show His gratitude to the one who sent His Son to die and suffer in the cross of shame and suffering. I trust this incoming year, if God spares us to see it, that it will see a combined and a concerted and a unified effort by all within this assembly, by all, minister right down, by all, concerted, combined, unified effort to labor for Christ in this church and in this community. It is by that we express our gratitude to God for His unspeakable gift to us. This Christmas Day, all those who know and love the Savior can say with Paul, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. It is my prayer, sinner, that you would be able to say that as well, having been saved by his grace even today. Thank God for his unspeakable gift. May God bless his word to every heart here today. Amen and amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. O God, our Father, we thank thee for the Savior. We thank thee for this unspeakable, unique, unrivaled, undeserved gift that we find in the person of Christ. We thank thee for the one who came to this earth and who lived and died for us and purchased for us salvation from our sins. We pray that we'll leave this house meditating upon such truths. Lord, answer prayer. Be with us today. We thank thee for this day. We pray that as we, if it be thy will, we meet with family and loved ones, and those among them not saved, that you'll give us those opportunities to speak for Christ and witness for him as the shepherds did that first Christmas night. Answer our prayers. Be with us. Bring us safely to thy house again this evening. For we pray this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen and amen.